Tokyo Podcast episode number 21.
Hey everyone, today we're going to talk about dating and relationships in Japan. How does it work? Is it different than in the West? And also, what's the deal with Valentine's and women giving men chocolates? Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Tokyo Podcast. I am your host, Anthony Joe. And we have a packed show today. Today's show is going to be all about dating in Japan. What's it like and how is it different from dating in the West? Joining me on the show will be Melissa Feineman, who wrote the Let's Dating column for the seekjapan.jp website. And she's going to be coming on the show a little bit later to talk about her experiences dating in Japan and how it's different from dating in the West. But before we get to her, a couple things I wanted to take care of. First thing is I wanted to thank everyone who has left a comment or feedback on the Tokyo Podcast iTunes page. If you use iTunes to manage all your music, you know that if you click on the podcast link at the top, you can find Tokyo Podcast in there. And that's actually how many people listen to the show. And I noticed that a lot of people are leaving some really great feedback on for Tokyo Podcast on their country's iTunes page. And unfortunately, the way that iTunes is set up, I'm not able to reply or post a comment myself. It's not really a commenting system. It just allows people to post feedback. So I wanted to just take a quick moment here to say thank you to everybody who've posted comments on the Tokyo Podcast iTunes page. It's actually kind of fun for me to go to the different country pages and to read everybody's comments because different people in different countries leave different types of comments. So it's fun for me to read everybody's comments and to get that feedback on the show. So if you are leaving a feedback for Tokyo Podcast, I really appreciate it. And it helps with my ranking and moving me a little bit more into a more prominent position within iTunes. So thank you, everybody. And domo arigatou gozaimasu for everyone who's leaving it in Japan as well. The other thing I wanted to mention was my recent dinner at the Bubblegum Shrimp Company. A couple of weeks ago, I won a contest put on by the Expat Guides to Japan website. The Expat Guide to Japan website is a really great website for anyone who is looking to come to Japan. Their URL is expatsguide.jp, and they actually have a free booklet that you can request, giving you all sorts of really great information in helping you get your life set up here in Japan. And I know for myself, I found it very useful when I first got here. And as a matter of fact, I still find it quite useful while my Nihongo is getting better. So if you're moving to Japan, definitely recommend checking out expatsguide.jp and request that book. It's really useful. But they were having a contest to win a free dinner at the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company, and I was fortunate enough to win that. So I went down to the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company and had dinner there, and I gotta say, it was really a lot of fun. The food was fantastic. I was really curious actually how the food was gonna be because this is an American company, and in my experience, many times American businesses or restaurants, when they open an international chain, the food flavor taste changes quite a bit. I know this is quite often in Thailand where you get these American companies coming over to Thailand and you order something like mashed potatoes and it's really spicy because the Thais just love spicy food. But I was really pleasantly surprised to find that the food at the Bubblegum Shrimp Company tasted a lot like what I remember back home in America. So it was kind of a fun, nostalgic dinner for me to be able to enjoy that. And if you don't know about this restaurant, it's based on the movie Forrest Gump.
Hello, my name's Forrest Gump. Would you like a chocolate?
If you've seen the movie, you know that one of the main characters in the movie started the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. And so they took that concept and made it a chain of restaurants. And so what's really fun about this restaurant is that they have all this memorabilia all over the place throughout the restaurant. And it's not only just posters and stuff like that on the wall, but they really go all out to kind of give it a real bubblegum shrimp feel. So for example, they have these license plates that say like run, Forrest, run, and stop, Forrest, stop. And you flip these things up and down whether you want your waiter to stop by your table or not. And another thing that I really found amusing was that we ordered some fish and chips. And as you know, fish and chips usually comes on newspaper. And at this restaurant, the newspaper was the Greenbow Country Dispatch. And if you know from the movie, the main character, Forrest Gump, is from Greenbow, Alabama. And so it was actually a lot of fun to read this newspaper with all these fictional stories about what's going on in Greenbow, Alabama. So this restaurant is a lot of fun. The food was really great. And if you're a fan of the movie or you're interested in some good old American food, I definitely recommend checking out the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. On today's episode of Japan Blog News, I'm joined by special guest Sophie Carroll from the website sophiesjapanblog.wordpress.com. Sophie's blog is full of fun and interesting stories and websites about Japan, and she is here today to share a couple of Japanese dating-related websites. Hey, Sophie, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
No problem. So what do you got for us this week?
Well, I've got two websites today on dating in Japan. Obviously, it's that time of year that you either love or hate, depending on whether you've got someone to go out with. The first website I found is called japansugoi.com, which obviously literally means Japan's awesome or something similar to that. This website, it's basically a community for both dating and just finding friends in Japan. It seems to be aimed mainly towards gaijin guys because there's a lot of stuff on there about gravel idols and dating Japanese women. But ultimately, it's just somewhere for people to sort of fill out a little profile and meet people. There's a lot of interesting articles on dating Japanese women and Japanese dating habits, which obviously I think a lot of Westerners would find interesting. My favourite article here actually lists the top 10 qualities that Japanese men identified in the perfect girlfriend. What's strange is all of these traits are very clingy. They're things like she wants to accompany you everywhere and she wants to clean your room for you. They're very girl next door moe moe traits that you see in those high school anime. I don't think my boyfriend would be happy if I started rearranging his video games. I don't think any guy would be, so...
That's interesting. So what did you find for the second website?
The second website is a bit more general. It's called mynippon.com. It's a large general interest website set up by a guy called Jay Dwivedi. I think that's how you pronounce it. He returned from Japan after 4 years of working there, and he set up this website to keep his connection with the country alive. It's actually been growing since 1999, and now it's got a lot of articles, not just on Japan, but on all other aspects of life. There's a lot of pieces written by different people on dating in Japan again. Things like how women really perceive gaijin guys, how African Americans should try to date Japanese women, and all that sort of stuff. My personal favourite was one written by an African-American guy writing about his experiences meeting Japanese women and trying to break down this cultural barrier.
It's funny, in the article he quotes that he says that unfortunately the image of black people in Japan is not always the most positive. And that he quotes the Cosby Show as an example that he wished more Japanese people were aware of the Cosby Show.
Yeah, and if you watch any sort of anime or drama series, the black guys tend to be gang members.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Which obviously is a very bad stereotype.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they do things a little bit backwards here, a little bit different.
For more interesting information on dating in Japan and exotic places to take your girlfriend, anything like that, have a look at my blog, sophiesjapanblog.wordpress.com, and don't forget to subscribe.
Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and here in Japan, things are done a little bit differently compared to the West. In the West, it's usually a day filled with anxious boyfriends scouring the cosmetics or candy aisles looking for an appropriate gift for their girlfriend. Here in Japan, things are done a little bit differently, and to talk to us about it is Miss Melissa Feinemann, who wrote the Let's Dating column for the Japan Zine magazine and Seek Japan website. Hey, Melissa, welcome to Tokyo Podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you're here to talk about the very interesting subject of dating and relationships in Japan, something that is quite a bit different than in the West. And let's start off with Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is a couple days away. And I understand that in Japan, it's a little bit differently than how we do it in the West.
Yes, that's true. So basically, in the West, we tend to exchange gifts, flowers, chocolates with our loved ones. And usually, you know, it's both people give a gift. So, you know, a girlfriend will buy something nice for her boyfriend. Maybe she knows that he was looking for a watch. She'll find a nice watch for him or a nice, you know, shirt for work or something like that. And then the boyfriend is also expected to get something nice for his girlfriend. And, you know, flowers and chocolates are the usual gifts, but some people get really creative and, you know, do something that, you know, they make themselves, you know, or, you know, there can be lots of different things. But in Japan, basically there is no expectation for the man to do anything. It is all about the women buying presents for the men. So that's a very unique twist on this holiday, because I would say in the U.S. or in Europe, or I mean, I think it's, you know, there's definitely the expectation that both people will buy something for each other, but it's more heavily focused on men. You know, it's like if a man forgets Valentine's Day, he is going to be in big trouble with his girlfriend.
He's in the doghouse.
Exactly, yes. So that's definitely a major difference. And then I think also as far as the type of gifts that are given in Japan, it really is about chocolate. And especially, I guess there's kind of a hierarchy. So if you give someone a store-bought chocolate, that means that, you know, you like them a little bit. But if you go to the trouble of making your own chocolate at home, that shows that you really like someone.
Really? Some ladies go as far as making their own chocolate?
Yeah, so if you go to Loft or Tokyu Hands or any of the big department stores, you know, in probably the month or so leading up to Valentine's Day, you'll find an entire display of, you know, adorable little paper cups for chocolate truffles that have, you know, lots of pink hearts on them, or different cookie cutters in the shape of hearts, or, you know, they have a whole section dedicated to making homemade chocolate for Valentine's Day.
Wow, that's interesting. So here in Japan on Valentine's Day, the giving of flowers and roses, stuff like that doesn't happen at all, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe some couples might do that, but it's definitely not a huge cultural tradition the way that it is in the West.
Right. Okay, so on Valentine's Day, typically the women will buy or make some chocolate and give to their boyfriend. Do they give it to just only their boyfriend, or can they give it to someone they're interested in?
Sure. So that's one of the, there's kind of a second part to Valentine's Day, which comes 1 month later. So on March 14th, that day is called White Day. And basically, that is the opportunity for men to reciprocate. So they have to give something back to women who gave them chocolate. And the idea is that if you gave chocolate to someone that you kind of had a crush on or you were interested in, they would show that they were also interested in you by giving you something on White Day. So it seems like kind of a shame that you have to wait a whole month to find out if your crush is interested. But that's the way it goes.
Well, that's the total opposite of America, eh? When the woman's like waiting like 2-3 days for the guy to phone her.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And going nuts if the guy doesn't phone a couple days later. And here in Japan, poor girl has to wait a whole month to find out.
Yeah.
Did you find dating in Japan quite a bit different than dating in America?
Yes. So, I mean, people ask me all the time, you know, what is it like to date Japanese men? And it's hard to answer quickly because it's like, well, I mean, on the one hand, you know, we're all humans, so there are certain aspects of dating that are the same, you know. But on the other hand, you know, culturally, there are a lot of differences. And so there are a lot of things that kind of take getting used to, just because the Japanese way of doing things, especially in social situations, is very different.
Like what? Can you give us an example?
Sure. So one thing that's very different is just the basic way of finding someone that you would like to date. So I think, you know, in the West, one of the most common ways to meet someone is at a bar. You know, so you just go to a bar. The way that they're set up, it's very easy to have a conversation with someone because you're standing in line horizontally, so you have people on either side of you. And so you could easily, you know, start a conversation with someone while you're waiting to get your drink. Or, you know, you kind of stand around at a high table, so you could easily talk with someone who's walking by, or, you know, that kind of thing. Whereas in Japan, it's like when you go out to a bar, usually izakaya have a setup where you have your own private room and you don't really have any chance to interact with other customers. So that, you know, that forum for meeting people is just basically removed from Japan. So people have to kind of find other ways that, you know, to approach people and other places. And also, you know, just because of the way that in general, Japanese people tend to be very shy and it's hard for them to just approach someone they don't know. So you don't have as much just, you know, people coming up to you and trying to get to know you in Japan as you might in another country. So people like to, you know, if they have a friend who might have someone that they're interested in meeting, or through work, they might get one of their coworkers to try to set something up with another coworker, or they have a lot of different, you know, group dating type settings. So like the initial meeting is very different from what you would expect in a Western.
Is that difficult for some Western guys who are used to being a little bit more forward? Say, you know, if you're in a coffee shop, a Starbucks or a bookstore or something, and you see an attractive woman, go up, start a conversation with her. I take it that doesn't go over too well here.
I think that it's interesting because obviously I was just speaking about kind of from a female perspective, because usually women are the ones, even in the West, we're the ones who are used to kind of, you know, being approached, and we don't do as much approaching. But right. For men, I think that, you know, for foreign men in Japan, they don't find that to be as much of a problem because they can still be aggressive the same way that they would be in the US or in Canada or Australia, wherever. And Japanese women like that. And, you know, there's actually the past couple of years, they've had this whole thing about like vegetarian men and carnivorous men. And so the soku danshi are the vegetarian men. And basically it means that like they're really passive. They don't make any decisions. They'll never make the first move. And Japanese women are getting really fed up with that. So, you know, most Western guys are the opposite. They're the niku soku danshi. They're like eating all the meat, you know, they're like very aggressive, like, no qualms about approaching someone. And so like that's, you know, the Japanese women really like that. So it's actually like to Western men's advantage to be aggressive in that way.
Huh. Interesting. So then yourself as an American woman, did you find being in Japan, you had to be a little bit more aggressive in approaching or say initiating conversation with men?
Yeah, definitely the first couple of guys that I dated, it seemed like I was the one who kind of made the first move as far as like asking for their phone number or kind of trying to show them that I was interested. And it was hard. It was really hard to make that jump because I didn't really know. It's hard. It's kind of hard to read their signals and know if they are interested in you or not. And I guess luckily in those cases they were, but yeah, I did kind of have to do a little bit of the kind of initial, you know, making moves.
So all the guys who you turned down in America are like, ha! Now you know what it feels like.
Yes, exactly. They've got their comeuppance.
So then how do the Japanese kind of go about meeting other people? What's their system for that?
So, yeah, as I mentioned earlier, you know, kind of getting a friend to introduce you to another friend or meeting a coworker. Those ways are very common. And then there's also this institution called Gokon, which is basically, in English, we would call it a group date. And, you know, in the US or in the West, we have this system called a double date, which would be when one couple, has another man, another woman that they'd like to try to set up on a date. So it would be four people going out on a date together. But usually, you know, one set of those people are already a couple. Whereas in Japan, for a gokon, it's more than two, you know, sets of men and women. It's usually, you know, four, five, six. And they don't necessarily know each other, and there are not usually any couples in that mix. So one guy will kind of, maybe he has a female friend and that, you know, he's not interested in dating, and he'll ask her, you know, hey, I have like four friends that I'd like to get, you know, we all want to find a new girlfriend. Can you help us? And so the girl will be like, okay, I'll round up four of my friends, and then they'll set a time and place, and they'll meet, you know, at an izakaya or something like that. And then it'll be set up so that everybody can give their little self-introduction, so you get to know about everybody in the group. And then there'll usually be some sort of games that you play or something to kind of make sure that there's always something to do and always something to talk about. And then also they'll make sure that at, you know, certain points throughout the evening, people will change their seating arrangement so that everyone has a chance to talk to everyone else. And so if at a gokon you find somebody that you're interested in, well, then you would just approach either the male or the female leader afterwards, and, you know, you'd probably send them a text or something and be like, hey, you know, what's the story with such and such? I kind of thought he was cute. And then, you know, he would talk with a friend and kind of see if, you know, he was interested. And then, you know, he might send you a text back to be like, hey, it was nice to meet you. Maybe we can go have a coffee sometime or something like that. But it's, you know, this kind of group dating is a very popular way of meeting people.
That's very interesting. That's very, a very Japanese way of doing things, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you have this group activity. You avoid the awkwardness of meeting others by having everyone do an introduction. You have games, so there's no lack of conversation or that awkwardness, you know. It's kind of funny how they kind of systemize dating as well.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, I think, you know, it's very egalitarian. It's like, you can't have one couple hit it off and spend all night talking to each other. Even if it's obvious that that has happened, they still need to, you know, make the rounds and talk with everyone. It's like everybody needs to have an equal chance to talk with everyone else.
It reminds me of like when you're in elementary school and you have to give Valentine cards and the teacher's like, okay, you have to give one to every single kid in the class, you know?
Yes, exactly, exactly. And you might know in your heart that, you know, well, this one I put five heart stickers on, so I know that means I really like this person.
Right.
But on the surface, you know, you've given one to everyone, so that's fair.
Here in Japan, then, the group dating is more popular, you'd say, than kind of meeting someone randomly in a Starbucks or a bookstore or something like that. But
yes.
with yourself and with your girlfriends here, did that happen to you? Were you ever approached by Japanese guys?
Yes. So I would say that, you know, one kind of free zone as far as like approaching people would be in nightclubs. And so definitely like most of the guys that I met were in nightclubs, because that was the one time where like they would just, you know, come up to me and start talking with me. And of course, in some ways, the fact that I'm not Japanese worked to my advantage, because it's like, you know, they look at me, they see immediately I'm not Japanese. So it's like, okay, well, where are you from? What are you doing here? How long have you been here? What do you think about Japan? Can you eat with chopsticks? It's like, you know, there are so many questions that people have for foreigners that it makes it really easy to have that initial conversation with people. And also it's kind of nice because it's like, even if you're not really interested in people, in someone, you know, it's fun. Kind of fun to have that conversation, and you know, you kind of have all your responses ready because you've been asked those things like 5 billion times anyway. And I know like some I've had it happen one time that I was approached on the street, and I was with two Japanese friends, and but it was also kind of a special situation because it was during cherry blossom season, and we were in Nakameguro, and it's, you know, like there are all these cherry blossoms, and there's just, you know, people kind of walking along and drinking drinking and eating. So it has kind of a festive atmosphere. It's not just a regular, you know, work night on our way to the station. So yeah, it's always kind of a specific, has to be a very specific kind of situation for people to really approach you in the street, or at least that's been my experience.
You know, I remember one time when I first moved here a couple months ago, I was sitting outside a store on Omotesando, mm-hmm. that big shopping area there. And I was actually watching people walking by. And I saw one Japanese guy. Mm-hmm. It was very interesting that he was standing outside the store and he was approaching almost every single cute girl that walked by. Mm-hmm. And he would just walk up to them and try to start a conversation and just what I kind of thought was badgering them, because mm-hmm. to me it looked like they weren't really interested in talking to him, but he would follow them up the street mm-hmm. Until eventually they just ignored him and gave him the brush off, and then he would walk back down the street and start all over again. Mm-hmm. And he must have done this about a dozen times or so. Mm-hmm. With no success.
Yeah. And I mean, there, I have a few theories. I mean, one is that, yeah, he was just really like set on meeting someone and he was, you know, just numpying like all over the place. That's one option. But, another option is that, you know, that could actually be his job, because I've definitely seen that happen where like, men will approach women. And yeah, it appears that they're, you know, like trying to start a conversation with them or whatever, but it's because, you know, they work in a hair salon or something like that, and they're trying to get customers to come in.
Oh, okay.
So that may be why he was kind of like working that same corner like repeatedly, because his salon was just right there, or you know, something like that.
Right. Okay. So then what would be, say, your top three tips for foreign women coming to Japan, single, who are coming to Japan or looking to get into the dating market?
Okay, sure. So I think, probably most important is learn Japanese. because, you know, the number of people who speak English in Japan is small compared to the number of people who speak Japanese in Japan.
Right.
And you'll just find that it really improves your quality of life in general. But then especially when it comes to dating, it's like if you're going to date a Japanese person, then eventually you're going to want to meet their friends, you're going to want to meet their family. And, you know, if you don't speak Japanese, it's going to be hard. You're not always going to find, you know, all of their friends and family speak English or whatever your native language is. So, you know, Japanese is very useful for, you know, all of that. And then the other things would be just, you know, to be open-minded, because some things are going to surprise you. You know, there are going to be some things that just don't really make sense, but you just kind of have to, you know, be open-minded to them. And then, you know, related to that is just to be flexible and learn that, you know, you are going to have to compromise on some things that you might have thought were really important to you, but you might have to learn to let them go. And there might be other things that you don't think really matter, but they're very important to the person you're dating. So you kind of have to learn to go by their rules as well.
I guess that's the same with any intercultural dating relationship, isn't it?
Yes, definitely.
You know, dating is so hard to begin with. I mean, when you throw different cultures into the mix, it creates a whole new set of challenges as well as a whole new set of rewards.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm curious, what was one myth about dating Japanese guys that you wanted to kind of blow away? Like, what's something that you thought about before you came here, then you got here and you realized that was not true at all?
Well, I guess, I mean, the whole thing about like Japanese guys being shy and never approaching women, that was something that, you know, I'd kind of been prepared for, or that, you know, that was a myth that I kind of held in my own mind that, you know, oh, well, you know, I might not ever be able to date in Japan because guys may never talk with me. And so, you know, that was I was pleasantly surprised to find that, you know, that's not the case. They can be more outgoing than you might expect.
If people want to find out more about your articles, they can check out your website at melissafeinman.com, where you write articles for Veg News. Is that a vegan magazine?
Yes, it's
a vegetarian magazine.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I will post a link to your website from my website at tokyopodcast.com. Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was lots of fun.
Thanks again to Melissa for coming on the show. If you are interested in reading more of her articles, visit her website at melissafeinemann.com. I gotta say that I'm not a huge fan of the month of February because I get hit with the triple whammy. I have an anniversary, I have Valentine's, and then her birthday, all within 3 weeks of each other. So I am really liking this Japanese system where on Valentine's, the men do absolutely nothing and the women have to give the men chocolates. What do you guys think about that? Send me a message on my Facebook page at facebook.com/TokyoPodcast. What do you think is a better system? Do you think it's a better where men give the women gifts on Valentine's or where women give the men gifts on Valentine's? Maybe I should put a poll on that and see who wins that vote. But for me personally, I kind of like it the other way around. Join me next week when I'll be talking to Mr. Anton Custers, who spent 2 years with the Yakuza. And this guy's got a fascinating story. He's a photographer who had this crazy idea that he wanted to photograph and document the Yakuza. Now, if you can think of one organization in Japan that, you know, values their privacy more so than anyone else, it's got to be the Yakuza. And the last thing that they would want is some gaijin walking in with a camera and photographing them. But Mr. Custers was able to convince the Yakuza that this would be a good idea. And so he was allowed into the inner circle of the Yakuza and was allowed to photograph them for 2 years. And he created this amazing photography book. And he's going to talk to us about the training and the protocol and all that, all the education that he had to go through before he even got started. The negotiations alone took over 6 months because he had to learn all the proper etiquette and everything involved with that when he actually started to meet members of the Yakuza. So it's a fascinating look at his job and the training he went through, and also kind of his insights into what the life of the Yakuza is like. So I'm looking forward to that. It should be very interesting. Don't forget to check out my Twitter page at Tokyo Podcast and send me some feedback on the show. Thanks to everyone who's leaving me feedback on iTunes. I really appreciate it. That's it. I'm Anthony Joe, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.